I said amen.
Amen.
If you believe that the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you this evening, say another amen.
Amen.
Now, I want us to declare that word once more, this time around with better conviction. The first time, it's as if we are just waking up, all right? Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it is making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. I said amen.
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
The word will enter you today and give you healing in every area in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
To the one who is confused, direction has come to you today in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
All right, let's take our seat. As you are sitting down, greet somebody, welcome somebody again. Tell the person, welcome to the presence of the word of God. Welcome to a transformation time. Greet somebody, say welcome to a transformation time. Welcome to the presence of the word of God. Welcome to healing time. All right. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Okay, let's open our Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 10. Just want to take a text. We read it last time. We've been looking at the pursuit of faith and the use of faith. And what we have been trying to look at in the last few meetings is how our faith can grow. We know that faith grows. If our faith increases, we can get things done. Things that other people think or thought were difficult, with great faith, they can be accomplished. We know that reading from the scriptures. Jesus used to go around laying hands on people. He would speak to them directly. He would touch them. He would do different things. But a time came, he wanted to go and pray for one man. And the Lord of that servant said, you don't need to come to my house. Speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. And Jesus spoke the word only, and that man was healed, even though he was a great distance from that particular place. That tells us, therefore, that, I know Jesus now answered, he said, great is your faith. It tells you that the power of God covers great distances if the faith is great. Jesus did not have to go to that fellow's house and touch him. There was another woman like that. She did not come with her daughter. The daughter was at home, and she came to talk to the Lord Jesus. And because, according to the Lord Jesus, her faith was great, from where she was, her daughter at home got healed, even though Jesus never came near to touch the daughter that was gravely disturbed by an evil spirit. Now, what am I trying to say here? It shows, therefore, that faith is very important in our lives, and we keep on emphasizing this. I was listening to some messages over the week, and of course in the previous times. And one of the things I've read different teachings. And one of the things that keep confusing people, I just want to emphasize it again before we go back into our teaching. Alright, just good to just discuss some of these things. I've taught this again and again here, but you can't say these things enough because you want to help people to understand truth. Many times people think that what happens is the will of God. I've said that again and again. It is not so. Many times what happens or what we experience are the things that had to happen because our faith, all right, was small. Because if somebody has small faith, something will happen. You say that's how God wanted it. It doesn't mean that. It may not have been how the Lord wanted it. That only happened because faith was small. I hope you get what I'm going to say here. You know, sometimes people look at it. I've read many things. People try to emphasize the fact that, you see, I'll give an example. People say that if I was listening to a man that I really respect yesterday or 2 days ago, and I was teaching this thing again, I was trying to emphasize that, listen, God does not always heal. And I was trying to use that one to give the impression that don't try and force God to heal all the time. There are times it is not so disposed, all right? And he gave scriptures, many scriptures, that if you do not have deeper insight, you'll be compelled to agree with him. But by the time he finished, I respected his opinion, but I said, no, these scriptures you give, or even the experiences you taught, all right, I'll give a very practical example, one of the examples he gave, that there's a woman that was in hospital, she was ill, And he went to see the woman. And the woman said, lay your hands on me so that I may get well. And he said, look, you shouldn't be quick to do that. That he decided to seek the face of God first, whether he should. Now, that sounded like a good thing that should be done. So he and the woman agreed that we'll go and pray and see whether we should pray or leave you to die. Are you getting my point? And of course, and they went home. And when he returned, he said by the time he was coming back, he felt in his heart that what God wanted was for them to leave the woman and let her die. She was ill. And he did not know how to tell her. But when he got there, the woman too also had the same feeling. As soon as he entered, the woman smiled and told him not to bother with the prayer, that she's convinced that God wants her to come home, all right, and go up to heaven to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I thought about it. Is that possible? Most certainly. Let's not dismiss it entirely, like that may not happen. We know there was a time God told Moses, you are coming home tomorrow. Are you getting my point? And no matter what Moses said, he said, you are coming. Now, so that happens once in a while. But when we want to use that experience that I just narrated to you to judge whether it's the will of God or not, I was not persuaded. Because I know that, you see, God is a judge. Maybe he has looked at the situation and he looked and said, the amount of work I need to do to get this woman healed, the two of them combined don't have that faith. Are you getting what I'm going to say here? And he has judged it and he said, okay, for that reason, yes, let her come home. Now, we look at it and said God wanted her to come home. But God had looked and said it would be an unnecessary battle because I have seen their hearts. I have seen the state of their spirits. And both of them combined cannot drag enough faith to bring this thing to pass. The man is not even confident enough. The woman too is questioning. For that reason, let me leave these people. And so he ministered to both of them individually, let her come home. They judged that this means that God wants her to come home. Listen to me, it is not always like that. It is a small possibility. But see, faith is very important. Many things that God wants to do, he can't do them. I like one story, a similar story, but this time around from the man Kenneth Hagin that I heard. There was a woman in her 60s, I think getting to be 70 thereabout, who was seriously ill. She had cancer and she was wasting away. And this man was a young preacher in his 30s. And he and his friend went to meet the woman and said that, listen, we need to pray so that you will get well. And the woman said to them, no, leave me, let me die, let me go home. I have served the Lord. She had been an evangelist since she was a young lady. All right, now she's old. And she said, I have served God, just leave me and let me die. And the young preacher said, I can't let you do that. Are you getting my point? And after some argument, he said, all right, fine, you want to die, you will die, no problem. But let's come to an agreement. This your death is not good like this. Why is cancer wasting you away? Get healed first, then we'll leave you to fall down and die. Are you getting my point? If that is the way you want it. So when they got her to think like that, at least for one moment she agreed with them. So according to him, it took them weeks first to persuade her to want to leave. Then after they persuaded her to want to leave, they began to minister the word of God to her. It took a while, but eventually that cancer, she was wasting away. She was giving up for dead. The doctors had given up hope entirely. But she became totally healed. And next time, the woman ministered for another 20 years before she finally died. I hope you're getting what I'm going to say here. We could have looked at the beginning and said, no, it's not necessary. It was the perfect will of God. But what God could have, if they were not like that, God could have said, all right, they say, what do we do? He said, leave her. Why? She wants to come home. Leave her. You guys don't have enough faith. So let's leave this matter. So we'll have said, okay, that's how God wanted. But when God is judging, when God is decreeing, many times what he's doing is to give us things that are the only things we are willing or able to accept. And that's what I'm trying to explain to us believers, that we have to kindle our faith. We have to stir up our faith. We have to aim for something so that great things, because if God wants to do something great, it will not happen until somebody can draw it down from heaven. If God plans to bless the whole earth, this is how what he does. He goes around looking for somebody that he can train, in faith. When the fellow has been fully trained, then the fellow cannot draw down from heaven what God wants to use to bless the earth. That's just the way it works. It is not as if because God has proposed that, listen, Israel must leave captivity after 70 years, it will just happen. No, he had to go and train somebody. Daniel had to be trained and taught. And then one day, he stumbled into a scripture that says that 70 years, according to the word of Jeremiah, this is what's going to happen. At the end of that 70 years, he began to pray and bring deliverance to the earth by faith. Are you getting what I'm going to say here? When God wanted wanted to remove Israel also from captivity, he had to train Moses until Moses could bring deliverance from heaven by faith. When God wants to deliver a country, he has to train you, all right, and your neighbor, and me, and somebody else near your house, until your faith is great enough to draw blessings from heaven. What Satan does, let me tell you something about life, and challenges. Don't worry about challenges that they come. They will come. They will come. They will come again and again. Pray from now to tomorrow, they will come. But listen to me. Each challenge is meant to build your faith so that something greater in life tomorrow, you can draw it down from heaven onto the earth that God wants to do. God wants to do something that does not mean to happen automatically. You and I have a responsibility. As I'm talking about the issue of purpose of faith, you see it. The problem in life is that, you know, we get so much focused on faith being the way by which we get little things. We get so much focused on faith by which we just get our needs met. But that's not it. What God, the ultimate person of faith on this earth, Jesus Christ, what he did was to, by his faith, bring deliverance for everybody on this earth, so that whosoever will believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. He never, for one second, used his faith for anything that was personal for him to gain. What was he going to gain? He had equality with God. There was nothing else to gain. But what did he do with faith? To bring deliverance from heaven, so that you, me, every one of us, our descendants, the generations of the earth, all right, will all be saved. And this is the point. That is what everybody is supposed to do. Faith is not about, let me get some more money. Let me tell you what faith is about. Faith is about, listen, all right, I have food. Enough. I have enough money. My children can go to school anywhere in the world. I can buy anything I want. Yet I wake up every day and I'm calling an investment to be by faith. Ignorant people will say, what else is he looking for? Because they don't know anything more than their pocket. Are you getting my point? They don't know anything more than food. Sometimes I see educated people talk and I say, no wonder there is poverty. You see a whole professor, I'm thinking of an experience now, trying to tell me that once a man has a house, he has two cars, and he can pay children's school fees, everything is okay. And if anybody has too much money, you go and check, the money is not clean. I say, you, your generations, you will be poor. Because, you know, this mentality, and prosperity, I've explained again and again, for us believers, it's not about money. It is about, listen, I'm sitting at home, because listen to me, this free education the federal government is giving every day is going to keep on disappearing. Now so life be. All right, don't think I'm speaking evil. Now so life be. You know now, state governments cannot, listen, wake up next year, you will see what will happen. State governments, they are going to double school fees because they can't continue paying salaries. You know now, if you want education that is good and cheap, you go to a federal university. If you want, then after that you go to a state university. Then, if you're talking about universities, once you go beyond these two, your money must be complete. Are you getting my point? Have you heard people sometimes, now we are digressing, I don't know how to fit into our message. Many times they were angry with somebody like Bishop David Oyedepo, that how can he be charging this amount of money? He didn't get to the university. One day I told somebody that he's of the very good universities, he's the cheapest. There's none cheaper. Do you know anyone cheaper? You can shout it out loud. That you can rank close to them, that you will first choice want to go. The other people are double the prices. I'm saying, what are they doing with the money? These are mission schools I'm talking about. They're not doing anything with the money. They're not carrying it home. That's how expensive it is to provide that thing. Have you ever asked, gone to the market, all you tomato sellers, what are you doing with the money? Have you asked that question in recent times? You don't ask that because, you know, tomato, get the tomato is the problem. It's not whether they want it. Even there, they are crying because you are not buying as much as you used to buy. Everybody now has learned how to cook strange soups. Yes, you won't know. I love women. They manufacture food without tomato. You didn't know the recipe. So the recipe was on the internet until now. Very soon, I've told all of you, you will see women cooking soup with apple. And the husbands can't talk. It's cheaper than tomato. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, what am I trying to say in all of these things? Okay? So we see these are the real cost of this. They're expensive. And God now says, okay, for that reason, those who are poor, don't go to school again. Those who can't raise a millionaire a year, don't go to school again. Will he say that? No. But he just will be watching everybody. He will tell his children, wake up. Download blessings. So that you will sit down and say, please, oh, in this community, we have 10 scholarships for children that otherwise cannot pay. And it won't stress you at all. That is what they call prosperity. Listen, it's not whether you will eat extra. is that as the schools are building, as they are increasing in number, as they are getting more expensive, you will walk to one school and say, I like what you guys are doing here. Listen, this is scholarship I want to drop. Any child of this category that comes in here scores this amount of marks, okay? Let's send him through school 4 good years, tuition on my bill. You won't know him, you don't care, but you are sure that every year 20 new students go to that school, that their parents don't have to worry about how they will pay their fees. That is what is called prosperity. I hope you're getting my point. And those things must be downloaded by faith. Somebody will stand up and say, listen, while I live, this thing must happen. Children must go to, it's not everything, federal government, how can school be so expensive? Forget it. Have you seen our current president? Everything he promised he wouldn't do, he's doing. Now, you know why? It's the reality. He stood down there and said, I don't know whether it's true or false. That they said he'll make $1, 1 naira. The only way you can make $1, 1 naira is to change the zero behind it. At the end of the day, that is, listen, I know what I'm telling you. You're not deceiving yourself that naira is now more valuable than dollar. That is not the issue. And that new one, let us see. That is what we are calling value. They said he promised. I don't know whether he did or he did not. I was not there. They said he promised. Of course, this one, I heard it. He will never devalue the naira. He will never agree to devaluation. Political promise. Now, the man has agreed to devalue the naira. It's just that he didn't call it devaluation. They use politics. They were careful to not call it devaluation, that they will not allow naira to be affected by market forces. It's not devaluation, no. We didn't devalue it, too. It's just market forces. You know why he's doing all of that thing? That's the reality. It's not because he's wicked. Some people say that, you see, when he was campaigning, he said otherwise. You too, when you are campaigning, what else would you have said? You will come and campaign. Jonathan is doing well. Everything is perfect. The value of the naira is good. Fuel is well supplied. Vote for me. Will you stop like that? No, I'm not saying it is right. I'm just telling you that some people, when they come, they'll be telling me that, hey, but that was not what he promised. As a politician promised and you were listening. Obama promised. The only people he fulfilled his promise to were the homosexual people. One day he confessed that I have discovered that to change Washington, you have to change it from outside. Meanwhile, he spent all his life hoping to go inside to change it from inside. The first 2 years, he said, I've made a discovery that changing this place from inside is not possible. You know what that means? This place is not changeable. Because he was outside, he could not change it. He's inside, he discovered it cannot be changed. Now, what am I saying? There are realities there. Why is our president, why does he seem to be changing his mind? Because of realities. If you know the man, if you listen to him carefully, he's a socialist at heart. But man, when he enters power, everybody says, okay, sit down. That's your socialism, it's expensive. Somebody has to pay. With all the love we have for Fashola, the first thing he declared is, I'm jacking up power price by twofold. And they say, why are you doing that? He said, it's the only way you will have power constant. They said, provide the constant power first. He said, it's not possible. I heard him say it. He said, because the only way to put money, the only way to get more power generated is to invest money. The money only comes from banks. And banks won't give you a dime until they see how you are going to repay them. And at the current tariff, all right, they can't collect their money back, so they will not release a dime. Yesterday, I said in the news, the guy said, no way. The price has to go up. These are the realities. And in America, you're trying to run to. That is more, what I say, power is 3 times costlier there. That's the reality. If you work decently, if you have a fairly well-paying job, 60% of your income goes to paying tax, rent, power. That's all. 60% of everything you earn. So don't think there's cheap power. And I don't know whether you're getting my point. There are realities out there. But then, what did God say? God answered, because of that, everybody sleep. Don't move again. He didn't say so. He said, you need to download a blessing from heaven. I hope you are getting my point. Yes, you need to. Things may become harder, but you need to bring down light from heaven. And my emphasis today is that light comes by faith. If we don't stir up our faith and build up our faith, many things that God wants to do will not get done. People, children of God especially, they don't sink in life because of the circumstances. Jesus said it categorically. When they sink, it is because of unbelief. When they sink, it is because of lack of faith. When the disciples were shouting, don't you see we're about to drown? He woke up and said, where is your faith? That was the question he asked. He was not concerned about all my enemies that said I will drown in this water, Holy Ghost fire. That was not his issue. The question he asked them, what happened to your faith? But you know what we all do? We gather. The Fulani men are invading us. That's what we do. There are some Nigerians that hate Dangote. I don't know how you can have sense and hate that man. Honestly, if you don't like him, maybe you know something I don't know. Come and tell me after. One day I was speaking in my office. I was just thanking God for what he's doing through his servant, Aliko Dangote. Now, I know he's not a Christian, okay? But I thank God for what he's using him to do, okay? I mean, yesterday, 2 days ago, Fashola commissioned a 25 or 28 kilometer road that Dangote built. Have you heard that before? Cement road. May God bless you like that. Amen. Say amen now.
Amen.
Some people are just angry with the man. One man in my office was speaking the other day. When I said that the man's refinery will start producing fuel next year, and then we'll stop importing. He said, hey, we'll be slaves to this man. Right now, you are slaves to people abroad. I don't know whether you're getting my point. You are importing from somewhere. You know what I'm saying? All of these things. If these blessings are going to come, if you will be able to build your own road, if you are going to be one that people will reason about like that, it has to be by what? By faith. Read this man's story, Strive Masiyiwa, all right, of Econet. The man described how to tap into the power of life to do your business. Strive does not give anybody a dime in bribe. You can't extort him. He rather shut down his business than give him money. That was why they drove him out of Nigeria at that time. Eventually, he was vindicated. He won. He said he needed money. He prayed, declared the word of God, reached inside and took on the power of life and raised $1.5 billion. I'm talking about what faith does. Faith is what makes it possible for you to look and say, enough power failure, and your words will have power. Faith is what makes it possible. Instead of sitting down and saying, it's our enemies. Okay, you know, actually, I was saying something earlier, I missed my point. People now say that, look at it, they are invading us. Dangote, he has Islamic agenda. Why is he Muslim? Have you heard of Islamic agenda before? Let me just advise you right here. Don't believe it. What did I say? When the breeze was blowing, whoo, 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 and they woke the Lord Jesus up. And they came, peace, be still. What did he say? Don't mind your enemies, they want to kill you. Was that what he said? What did he say? Where is your faith? When you see Christians are afraid of Islamic agenda, ask them, where is your faith? When you see them afraid of Fulani headsmen, ask them, where is your faith? When they start shouting, we're about to drown, we're about to drown, ask them, where is your faith? When a man opened his mouth, like I was saying earlier, and said, hey, Dangote, he's an allergic. Look at what he's trying to do. Ask him, where is your faith? If your faith is intact, no circumstance outside can sink you. That's the point I'm making. No machination outside of the enemies can sink you. That's the point I'm making. The Lord Jesus looked and said, where is your faith? Please, can I address Islamic agenda for a few moments? Please, pardon me. Let me just digress again. Address it, then we'll get back to the matter of faith. People say there's Islamic agenda. And the people, sometimes when I talk, they think that it's because of people like me, the Islamic agenda will prosper. I say, why? Because I'm not taking it serious. I say, you see, I'm like Jesus Christ. I know where to put my energy. Everybody has the right to an agenda. Don't you have a Christian agenda? No, sorry, you don't have, most Nigeria, we don't have any Christian agenda more than build a bigger church. Raise money so that our cathedral can be bigger than the one next door. That is our problem. But the point is this, everybody has a right to his own agenda. The Muslims included. They have a right to it. You can't, God will never side with you if you say they shouldn't have an agenda. God in heaven, he's very fair. He will never side with you. When you go to his throne and say, sir, they have an agenda. You know what he will ask you? Where is your own agenda? Agendas must be. What I want from you is your own agenda. Let me see how I can help you prosper your own agenda. If you don't have an agenda, don't tell me to stop those who have an agenda. Somebody forwarded one piece of crap to me the other day. That, Jai's Bank. Is it Jai's Bank? How do they pronounce it? Jai's, Jew's Bank, whatever it is. That they've got, they awarded them what? National license. You heard that thing? And they say, see, they have started Islamization of the banking sector. Why can't a man have a bank if he wants one? Why can't he have it? Please, I'm asking a question. People now say, very soon our children will be going there to look for a job. Shame on you. Shame. Listen, I know nightclubs. Are you getting my point? In Enugu here. I even know where to find prostitutes. I'm sure if I dig around, I'll find where they sell cocaine. Now, I'm asking for a question. I'm going to ask a question. Have you gone there? Have my children gone there to look for work? You are getting where I'm going. If you don't like it, don't go there. That's the point I'm making. I know factories that make cigarettes. I personally don't believe any Christian should work there. Even though they have national license. Why don't you believe a Christian should work in the place where they make cigarettes? I am a pathologist. And I know there is nothing good about cigarettes. Nothing good. It's evil from the beginning to the end of it. It's evil in its entirety. It doesn't bless anybody. It doesn't even make the smoker feel good. If you smoke and you feel good, it's because you have learned how to smoke. When you first started, you felt bad. It causes cancer. Of all the things that are legitimate on the earth, it's the number one cause of cancer. Now, this is the point I'm making, please. Let me go on. That's just a digression, okay? When I'm talking about it. But what I'm saying is that even though cigarette companies, they have national license, I've never heard any Christian say, very soon our children will be going there to look for work. And they will now make them wear cigar to go to work. Because they said they will make them wear hijab to go to work. If you don't want to wear hijab, why are you queuing up at Jai's Bank? You know, and you know, people, Christians are very funny. The same people will run to Saudi Arabia to go and look for work. They won't complain. You've not noticed? Kuwait, we are there. We don't complain. We run all over the Islamic world looking for work. If you really are sure you don't like to work there, come back home. When they send you dollar end there, don't collect it. I'll be making noise to me that Jai's Bank has national license. Please, as president, I will give them all the license they need. You know why? I do not consider them a threat to the gospel. Let me tell you the threat to the gospel. You want to hear it? The inaction on the part of Christians. The Christians who spend all their money chopping life and will not advance the money, they won't send the money to go and preach the gospel in Islamic land. They are the threat to the gospel. The Christian that pays a tithe and says, God, take your 10, let me eat my 90%. Just make sure you protect me from the devourer as I'm eating my 90%. They are the threat to the gospel. The threat to the gospel is the pastor who takes the scriptures and twists it because he needs money in the church. That is the threat to the gospel. The main threat to the gospel is a church in a nation that does not have any agenda for promoting the truth, either in politics, in their workplaces, or just to go on missions to spread the gospel of God. That is the threat to the gospel. Islamic headsman is not a threat to the gospel. Jai's Bank and license is not a threat to the gospel. Those are not threats to the gospel. The problem is that we don't know the kind of God we serve. Let me tell you the kind of God we serve so that you fear him some more. If he decides one day and he says, my people are doing what is right and they pray, and a man says, I'm going to Islamize the country, you know what he'll do? He'll kill the man. Kill all his sons. Kill anybody that bears his name. turn his house to rubble, make the sound of his name an anathema in the ears of people. That's what he does. He is a God that sends one angel to the camp of the Assyrians and kills 185,000 soldiers overnight. He is a God that sends 300 men to scare away a whole army of Midianites and their allies, and they will disappear because 300 men that are not carrying gun showed up. That is the kind of God you serve. He's the kind of God that drowns all the Egyptians in a few hours because they dared to pursue the people of God into the parted Red Sea. That is the kind of God you serve. He's a God that said, kiss the son, lest he be angry, and then you perish out of the way. That is the kind of God you serve. He does not consider Jair's bank license a threat to his gospel. Christians talk stupidly. They are afraid. When they hear Islam, they pee in their trouser. And they say, pray, pray, they are coming. Hey, kala, babake, hey, kala, go, go, pray, pray. God says, shut up, you go. Let them pray because you are coming. When the church was threatened, what did they ask God for? They said, God, empower us so that when we mention the name of Jesus, the sick will be healed. He said, now behold your threat. So what are you going to do? Now this is what you're going to do. You will give us boldness to speak your word so that we will not love our lives, so that we will not be afraid. When arrows and bows are aimed in our directions, we won't be afraid. And then we will call on the name of Jesus. Lord, please quickly do a miracle. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Do signs to show that Jesus indeed is alive. They did not say, Lord, give us a seat in the Sanhedrin. Give us people who will speak for us in Abuja. What do we find in our churches? Entertainers. They have taken the place of miracle workers. The heaviest paid people in church activities now are musicians and comedians. And it's not new. Spurgeon said, say Spurgeon, a time will come where instead of seeing, a shepherd feeding the sheep, you will see comedians entertaining the goats. Yeah, that's what he said. He said clowns, that's what he said. You will find clowns entertaining the goats. Is that what we are seeing these days? Listen. Why did I get into that? Yeah, why did I even get into Islamic agenda? Yes, thank you. I remember what I'm saying. Yes, thank you very much. So many times when you see, I digress into that, listen to me. And I know where I was, so let me continue there and I'll be able to come back. Listen, the truth is that, let me tell you about Nigeria and life generally, the way God ordained it. The problem with a nation like ours is the church. The problem with the church, let's talk about it briefly, is that we don't know what matters in life. We preach the gospel of prosperity in such a manner that everybody thought that what faith is, okay, is what I can grab with it. I can change my car by faith. I can take my wife and my children on holiday to any part of the world by faith. I can eat anything I like by faith. Things that are not recorded, not one example of that in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Talking about what faith does. We spend money, time, energy, trying to build bigger churches, buy better cars, live better lives. That was why God got angry. And said, that dollar, how much is it? The angel said 120. He said, make it 360. Say, why, Lord? I want to make sure they don't like to travel again. That is called breaking the staff of bread. When we are preoccupied with eating, God breaks the staff of bread. He said, such were they in the days of Noah. They were busy eating and drinking, marrying and being given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. Nothing wrong with drinking itself. Nothing wrong with marrying itself. But the problem was that men were preoccupied and serious things were happening. Acts were being built. They did not participate. Then when they now see, I'm sorry, you know God said something, I will discipline them with the rod of men. Listen, when they now see Muslims strategizing to advance their own kingdom, they say, look at it, they have Islamic agenda. Shame on you. Who doesn't have an agenda? Shame on the people that don't have an agenda. Shame on them. They have no agenda. They are there, running each other down. The other day I was in Onitsha many years ago. Let me not mention in one of these big Orthodox churches. I was one of their guest speakers. They had this massive program. So one of my hosts pointed something out. That when they began their own, okay, I will tell you. What is it? Let's just say it. The Anglicans have this massive program. They do. All right? Annually. I don't know whether I've not been there in years, but I was one of their guests one of those years. So my friend said that if I notice, right under the road, the Catholics too started another program. And he was laughing. He said, you know why? That their own was always happening. And of course, the whole city will come. They will have teachings. If I was one of the teachers they invited. They have different classes. They gave me a number of classes to teach, but I'm supposed to teach the same thing again and again so that people can go through. They have 12 classes. So one of the classes was mine. So that anybody that attends, I was supposed to teach, I think, 2 or 3 times. I can't remember for sure now. But that if I teach the same thing 3 times, at least somebody will be able to attend 3 different classes. So today now they can come to my class. Tomorrow they go to another person's class. So the whole week, they said that the Catholics saw that, see how people are going there. They started their own program. And you're now blaming the Muslim for having an agenda. They will have an agenda and they will build a central mosque in Onitsha. All of you will go there. Why? Because when God gave you the opportunity, you were so busy trying to make sure your people don't go to the other place. You are blaming people who are united for having an agenda. There is no agenda that is strong enough to withstand the agenda of the church. How do I know? Because Jesus said it. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Gates are barriers. That is, he expects that if the church is moving, nobody can stop their advance. But the problem is that the church is not moving. Then they sit down where they are, and they are afraid. They're coming. All they do is build massive projects. No advancement. We pump all our monies down to the south. Most of these are big churches. They gather money from all over the countries, pour it down to the south. What do they do with it? Build bigger, have more, bigger projects. Continue like that. And one day you will be wiped out entirely. The only thing that protects the church, the only way it survives is if it keeps advancing. If you don't want the threat from the north to come and crush you, the so-called Islamic agenda, the only defense that God has given you is that build a Christian agenda and start moving the gospel in that direction. You can't sit here and expect God to build a barrier. Never. He won't build a wall to protect you. The church that is walled in always collapses. The prophecy about the church is that Zion will be a city without walls. It must continue to advance, continue to grow. Of the increase of its government and of peace, there will be no end. You have no chance against any Islamic agenda if you don't have an agenda for the advancement of the gospel. You see Europe? God has given them over to Islam. He will spare only 1 or 2 countries. Just like he spared Judah for David's sake. He won't spare more than 2. Why? They hated the gospel so much. God said, fine. All of you will be Islamic. You can't pray it to not happen. That's what I'm explaining. God said the destruction is determined, overflowing with righteousness. Why will it not happen? Germany, that was a foundation for undermining the validity of the scriptures. Last year, they allowed in 1 million Muslim immigrants. 1 million. They don't have children anymore. You know why? If the man manages to marry, if he has 1 child, or maybe 1.5, he don't try. You know what I'm going to say? A lot of them can't even try because It's Adam that married Steve. Eve has married Evelyn. And if you say it is not of God, they say you are a bigot. They've attacked the church so much. If the church speaks the truth, fight. Yet they are unable to challenge a Muslim that is talking. It's only churches they drag to court to conduct homosexual marriages. They don't have the guts to ask a Muslim to do it. They are too afraid. But the Christians are afraid to go to jail. He's the one they drag to court all the time now, that he refused to conduct homosexual marriage. He's the one. And God said, all those who persecuted them, no problem. I have my problem with my people, but those who persecuted them, I will give them, all of them will bow down to Allah. As at now, I think there are more Muslims in UK than Christians. A few weeks ago, they elected their first mayor of London, who is a Muslim. David Paulson said it more than 20 years ago, that God spoke to him, that UK will become an Islamic country. In my generation, it is happening. But Nigerians are not ready. They say, okay, fight. You can't fight what God has given. Listen, Neco said it now to the king of Judah. Have I come to do this of my own will? Get out of the way. The king of Judah attacked him. He killed him. Why? Because you are opposing the counsel of God. God said, I should go and destroy Israel. Listen, see all those countries that arrest Christians. If you read Romans chapter 1, in England, they will arrest you. God said, you did not serve the Lord thy God willingly. You will serve a difficult God forcefully. My main message actually, is that the only protection is not that prayer you are praying. Is get up, have your own agenda, and advance the gospel with your agenda. Have your own agenda and advance the gospel with your own agenda. You cannot stop the advancement of Islamic agenda until or unless you have your own gospel. He said, what are you saying? That Islam will advance like that forever? No, 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 no. God has timing for everything. He does. When the tree has reached its peak, that's when God judges it. But until the time of his judgment, you can't do anything apart from get your own agenda, advance that agenda, then God will bless you and he will confirm the word that says of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. Upon this rock, this revelation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That is the only defense you have. That's why I bless God for people like my friend, Pastor Courage. One day I went to preach for him. Why did he invite me? He said he's starting a new branch in Sokoto. So he wanted me to come and sow the seed of the word in the place. Preach there for 3 or 4 days. As we're driving through time, he was showing me this is where Sokoto is expanding to. He said he's praying now that God will give them land inside there. He needs a third branch inside Sokoto. My people have been counseling him. When are you leaving and coming to Abuja? So that the gospel can stop spreading by his hand. And the same people will now come and start telling the Islamic agenda. When God has given them over to the agenda. You don't have your own agenda. You must fall for somebody else's own. You don't have your own agenda. Child of God, listen. You must fall for somebody else's agenda. If the church in this nation wants to be preserved, they had better get their acts together and develop real agendas. And stop building fanciful churches. Start investing the money in missions and advancement of the gospel. Listen, it's not Ogbojo. You will pray and say, God, this one that Boko Haram has been cleared from most of Zambesa Forest and Borno State. Father, in the name of Jesus, send laborers into your harvest field. You know what we say? God, bring out laborers from that harvest field. No. The prayer should be, Lord, send laborers into the harvest field. Because those who he will send are not those who try to go. He will pour a spirit of go inside them. They will not be able to sleep in the city. When they go there, he will protect them. He will guard them. He will kill enemies for their sake. He will send detachment of angels to protect them. I want to say something, it sounds prophetic, but he won't give them money. That's not a doctrine. That's not scripture. I think it's a prophecy for Nigeria. Because you know, I won't give them money. I will make those of you that pray that prayer send the money. You can't send angels to protect, don't worry. That's my job. But if you don't send the money, I will punish all of you. You will buy a car brand new, I will burn it 12 hours after. And you only manage to get out of it alive. I will wreck it on the express road. You will build an expensive church, I will collapse it when only a drizzle fell. 12 noon, it will collapse. You will invest money, the ship will sink. Because you want to hide in your panel houses while the house of God is not advancing. And you want to be making one nonsense noise about Islamic agenda. Because if you don't arise and do what you want to do, I will turn all of you to Muslims. The truth, however, is that the church will arise and advance. There's no enemy outside there that can withstand the advance of the church. The Roman Empire persecuted the church. This is the interesting part. I was listening to David Paulson yesterday, and he said, in today's England, Christianity got there within 40 years after the death of Jesus Christ, brought there by Roman soldiers. The same people persecuting the church, that nation was the one that they were the ones that brought the gospel down to the rest of Europe. Their soldiers brought the gospel to today's England. Evidence abounds to prove that that is true. The same people persecuting the church, God made them build roads upon which Paul and Co. traveled to advance the gospel. Those who persecuted the church in Jerusalem were the ones responsible for the advancement of the kingdom. The Bible said the church that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the gospel. If they had not persecuted them, they would have stayed in Jerusalem. Listen, this God we are serving, forget it, he's not a God, he's not afraid. Muhammad cannot threaten him. 1 million suicide bombers don't make him bat an eyelid. The only problem he has, Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? That's all. But Christians like to talk as if God is afraid of Islam. God said, what is Islam? Go and see what I did to communism. If you're talking about threat, communism was worse. Communism, they were not doing suicide bombing. They were assassinating leaders and replacing leaders. You see small war in Syria. Why was there war in Angola? Because there was USSR. The moment USSR collapsed, the war in Angola ended. Why was there war in Vietnam? Communism. Communism was so strong, the president said one day, he looked at the map. And if you have not checked the map, go and check it. Even me, when I was listening to the message, I didn't understand. Until one day I looked at the map and saw what the man was afraid of. He said he saw Russia on one side, and he saw China next to it. And he realized that if two of them can ever agree, and these were the two major communist countries on the earth, he said if these two people agree, the rest of the world is dead. He said there will be one monolithic block. And the day I saw the map, I knew why the man was afraid. Russia is a, USSR at that time, massive country. Right next to them, China starts. Massive country. He said if these two people combine, that's like half of the world's population under communism. He began to pray. He said, Lord, divide their tongue. After a while, the people began to quarrel with each other. Later, a few months ago, I watched a documentary about it on one of these documentary channels, either Discovery World or National Geographic. And they explained what happened. The fight began over share nuclear technology with us. The Russians never saw the Chinese as equals. So the Chinese were offended. And then when Stalin died, and I think it was Khrushchev who took over. It was Khrushchev that took over from Stalin. Then Khrushchev, Khrushchev criticized some of Stalin's policies. And Chairman Mao idolized Stalin, so he got angry. So he started the Chinese version of communism, thereby dividing the two people. Now, the point I'm making here is this. One day God looked and said, all right, they have reached their peak, cut them down. And overnight, the leader of the main communist country in the world, Boris, Yes, Mikhail Gorbachev. Mikhail Gorbachev started what he called perestroika and glasnost. Before he knew what was happening, he had legislated himself out of office. One day he woke up and he resigned from being the premier, whatever he was, because there was no country to govern anymore. All the countries had gone their separate ways. This is the interesting part. Years before that, I listened to a message, a prophecy given by Kenneth Copeland, in which he saw a giant snake that he said represented communism, and a hand came from heaven and chopped it to pieces. That the neck down to the tail disappeared. And the head looked back and was surprised it didn't have any body anymore. He gave an interpretation. I said, no, sir, this your interpretation is wrong. Because he said God didn't tell him what he meant. He just knew it was about communism. By the time I listened to this, was 1991, 92, when I listened to it. I said, no, what this means is that communism will collapse because spiritual things, Jesus is the head, is in heaven. The body is a church, all right? I said, the same manner, that head is not a physical thing. That head is the spirit behind communism. One day he will just see that the whole of his body has vanished. Precisely what happened. Even today's China is not communism like that anymore. There are billionaires all over China. That's not communism. A word of prophecy went out long ago from the mouth of this Ghanaian prophet. He said, God said there are three things on the earth that is bringing to an end, that's standing against the advance of the gospel. Number one, he said, was communism. That one is gone. The next he put on the line was Islam. If you think God is afraid, he's not. The only problem he has is with a church that's not going anywhere. He's not afraid. In due time, he will judge like this overnight. If the church is prepared, they will be converting mosques to churches. For want of space. For the number of people that will be coming. But no, we don't have that mindset. We have an afraid mindset. We are too preoccupied with funny things. They think the advancement of the gospel is through politics. The gospel did not advance one inch under Goodluck Jonathan. If anything, it went backward because all the pastors were going to Abuja to collect money. It's just God that showed mercy. Otherwise, Buhari would have arrested some people. This 4. Something, this 2.1 billion. You think Khan did not collect? I'm not saying Khan collect. I'm just saying, do you think they did not collect? It's a question. Now, a question I ask you. Even if Khan did not collect, some Canaanites collected. Some Canaanites, you know what I'm trying to say? They collected. God just covered the thing. I know my brethren, they know how to repent. They ran down and said, oh God, please, it was just 75 million. You know, we are not big boys, not small, but our only church will carry and go. That's what we're doing. We felt we're in power. The power of the church has never been political. It has never been political power. It has been the power of truth. The power of men and women that do not love their lives. The power of the gospel has always been the advancement of truth. Not that they are in political office. See the way church, if you hear the way Christians react. If Buhari sneezes, say, you see, this sneeze is a sign that they should bomb some churches. Poor Buhari. I feel so sorry for the man. The man, you see, we don't, listen, left to those of us who are, most of us Christians in Nigeria, he does not even have the capacity to have a good intention. His own heart is not in the hand of the Lord, though. Left to the way Christians reason. The gospel, the Bible does not prove, is not correct in his life. The heart of the king is the hand of the Lord. No, not if it's Muhammad Buhari. That's how we reason. When the Bible says, kiss his son, lest he be angry and he perish out of the way. No, he can't perish out of the will. That's how we reason. We are afraid. If the man makes one appointment, you see, it's an Islamic appointment. If he makes a Christian appointment, we don't notice. I feel sorry for him. The people that, the only chance he has in life to make any right decision in the interest of the nation is for the church of God there to pray for him. But they don't, most of them. Thank God, God does not depend on everybody. Most spend, I ban you today in the name of Jesus who I preach for. I ban you if you are here. If you don't want to hear this, get out. Never forward any rubbish that contains his name on WhatsApp. And I get to my phone, click, click, I delete. And if there's somebody I can talk to, I will warn you seriously. Because the only chance he has for success is for you and I to say, they want to Islamize Nigeria, that's their problem. Come, join hands. In the name of Jesus, the gospel is about. You can't say, don't Islamize. You can't say that one. The only thing you can say is, in the name of Jesus, the gospel will advance. The only thing you can do is to raise the rod of God up and say, in this land, anyone that God has placed in power must do his will. And you declare, let us pray in the name of Jesus concerning the country. Will of God be done. Will of God be done. In your heart, you face Aso Rock. Put the head of state on the seat. Put his deputies on the seat around him. And say to them, in the name of Jesus, will of God be done. And then you have to walk by faith. You have to walk by faith. You have to walk by faith. What do I mean by that? The man makes an announcement. You don't know what went on behind it. Just say, if it is not in the interest of the will of God, if it's not in the interest of the advancement of the gospel, it will not stand. God doesn't care whether the appointments are from the south or the north. He does not care. God only used to appoint kings from Judah. Priesthood in Israel was not rotational. If you were not a Levite, you couldn't make it. There is no head of state in Nigeria that has not served the purpose of God as much as the church allowed it. And there is none that will not. What I have told is the truth. I told the story once when I heard M.K. Abiola was the most popular presidential candidate Nigeria ever had. I served in Taraba State. My service year was 92-93. 93, we went for, we coppers were electoral officers. You know the way they use coppers. I didn't go that day because I didn't feel like going, and I was a clinical worker, so I said, look, I have to be in my clinic. But listen, Taraba State, M.K. Abiola won landslide. He contested against Bashir Tofa from Kano. In Tofa's local government, M.K. Abiola won. The emir of Kano supported M.K. Abiola. In the south, he was supported. Everywhere, he was supported. But this is the interesting part. One day I heard the story. So when annulment came, Babangida annulled the election. That was on the surface. Later on, we heard what went on behind. You know what went on behind? Many things. But one of them, I'll give you many stories, put them together. First of all, when it began, Tunde Bakare came. Oh, that guy. Please be praying for him. I don't want to be hearing his voice again if he's not prophesying. All this political talk. Those days when he opens his mouth, heads of states, they tremble. The man came on TV, in church, of course, he broadcast it. He said, is there no old man? Is there no old man in that family? He said, this is a journey a man sets on and never returns. He said, somebody call him to order. He will never be head of state. He will not come back. He said it nationwide. Everybody heard it. And he said, somebody tell my brother he will never be head of state. Then one day he came to church, he said, NRC will lose, but SDP will not win. And there were only two parties contesting. He said, NRC will lose, but SDP will not win. SDP was the party of MQ Abiola. Election went, SDP won massively. Tunde Bakare was watching. They were counting votes. Then this man from Oguta, Alton Zeribe, Association for Better Nigeria, he went to court to challenge the election. And they said, okay, injunction to stop the election. So they stopped announcing. And Henry Owosu, very interesting man, he told them, don't send results to me. Announce it one by one. That was what killed everything. Otherwise, they didn't want him to talk. So everybody announced the results. Till now, you know, the man till now, nobody ever heard from his mouth what happened. Have you noticed? That's what it means. That's part of state security. But make a long story short, all the calamity, all the disturbance started. Then Babangida came on air and said, the election has been annulled. And MQ Abiola began to protest. They said that election is annulled. They said, no, it's not possible. You cannot abort a pregnancy after the baby has been born. I heard him on radio that day. He spoke all the one he wanted to. Election was annulled. The annulment stood. Babangida left office. Shonekan replaced him. They put Shonekan in place because they are from the same state, Ogun State, to pacify the tribal sentiments. A few months later, of course, forget all of that. The whole of the West did not accept that man for one moment as head of state. Then the man they left in power to stabilize the government, Abacha, drove the man out of office. And Tunde Bakare had said that he saw in a vision two men struggling for something, SDP and NRC. And that the third man wearing a uniform came and collected it from them. That was Abacha. And he said an arrow from heaven came and struck him. You know the rest of the story. Abacha died suddenly. Later on, we heard the story about MK Abiola. You know what really happened? I've told this superficial story. You know behind the stories? When he went into government, said he wants to be president, some Christians gathered together and said, no, we refuse. Not in this country. You are voting. They were praying. One brother was in the meeting to give me the testimony. They joined her and said, Father, no. We cast down his star. He will never rule in this country. Forget all of that one they are doing. Why? They recall to mind his role, the days of OIC. And say, Lord, we have not forgiven him. We have not forgotten. Because MK Abiola was there pushing that Nigeria should join OIC. The Christians said, you will see. The day he got up and said he wanted to rule the country, the same people gathered and said, no. We want him. Time to pay him back. It was the church that said, no, you can't rule. Babangida did not know what was controlling him. He had to annul the election to prove that the heavens rule in the affairs of men. What are you afraid of? We serve a God who is in control. You say, but what about when evil happens? Yes, because sometimes we do not do what is right, and he's compelled to release a decree. You start hearing bomb blasts here, bomb blasts there, killings here, Fulani herdsmen there. One of my friends, I told him the story of tomato and apples in Nigeria. He said, somebody should please tell the plague, we are not Egypt. and that we have enough troubles already with crude problems. That this plague, please go away. It dawned on me that God sent 10 plagues into Egypt. If you count the one Nigeria has had, it's not up to 10. I don't see it superficially. Tomato is scarce, it's his plague. All of you are eating strange things now. Your stew has changed color. It's now darker because you are forced to pour in tinned tomatoes. Everybody's cooking open salad. Ofeaku. Everything that does not use tomato. Why? Because God just blew like this and broke the staff of bread concerning tomato. You are feeling sorry here. Forget. The farmers lost 1 billion naira worth of tomato harvest. 1 billion naira. That's what was estimated in tomato harvest. 90% of the tomato harvest was destroyed. It's a plague. My message today, I hope I'll be able to get back to it. What I'm just trying to tell Christians is that God rules. Heavens rule in the affairs of men. God gives the kingdom to whosoever he wishes and sets upon these kingdoms of men the lowliest of men. That there's no need to be afraid. Everybody has a right to his own agenda. When people talk about Islamic agenda, this is an evil thing. It's not an evil thing. It's a normal thing for any religious. If you have a religion that has a vision for advancement, they must have an agenda. America is contending not with Islamic agenda because they don't have a serious agenda there, yet the agenda is for Europe. They are contending with atheistic agenda. The agenda of the atheists succeeded in Europe. So God gave them over to Islamic agenda. And if you want the agenda not to succeed in Nigeria, it's simple. The church must have its own agenda. And it is not a political agenda. Can't call meeting. No. It is a pulpit agenda. Pastor, start teaching the truth. Stop lying. Stop diluting, adulterating, and perverting the word of God. Preach the truth. Tell the people what is right to do. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into the harvest field. Time to start spending money on mission projects again. Let's start exporting the gospel once more. There are countries where you will spend money now and they will be happy you came from Nigeria. It became so bad. Do you know this church, this country that God created specially for the advancement of the gospel? Do you know the number one exporter of the gospel right now? I don't know whether US is still ahead of us, but we're number two at the time. Nigeria, we're number two. When it came to exporting the gospel, we had overtaken, of course, anywhere in Europe. Nobody remained. We started exporting to the whole of Africa. But it got to a time, there are certain countries, I think Cameroon, I don't know whether it's one of them, where if you say you are a pastor, they will not let you in. Not because they are against the gospel, but because we did so much evil. This lying gospel, tithe, first fruit, seed, we carried it to Southern Africa. So once they see us, they know it's money we are looking for. You go and preach to unbelievers, you are collecting offerings. You know something is wrong with your head. You sow a seed for miracle amongst unbelievers. You saw Jesus do that one. Clear your account, and God will do something special for you tomorrow morning amongst unbelievers. We started closing doors against the gospel. Those are things we need to repent of. And all the Fulani herdsmen will disappear. All the plague, tomatoes will suddenly start growing again. God knew you were the ones eating the tomato when he killed him. Now, you know, see the guys that know the chop up. So those Christians, which party are they doing next? What did they use to Christians? The jollof rice, kill the tomato. It's the next party they will chop up, but forget. Oh, the Lord is good. That is what, listen, that is what we need to do. Our God is not. No, there are words that the Bible uses for God. Let me give you a few of them. There's mighty. They tell you he's a man of war. They will tell you there's one word he used that he's terrible. You know what it means to be terrible? Those are words he used to describe God. That's not, his children are not supposed to be afraid. Be forwarding things up and down. They have appointed Muslims into this, appointed Muslims into that. Become afraid. Somebody wants to run us over. If you notice something, let me just summarize. If you notice something, I have not said the Muslims don't have an agenda. I have not said so. Did I say so? I have not said so. Like, I've never said there are no witches. I've just said there is no agenda that can prosper if God does not bless it. And if the church comes up with its own truth agenda, evangelism agenda. Listen, when I was young, I mean, crusades, I used to hear crusades all over the place. How many do you hear now? In case you do not know, the cause of the major Kano riots of many years ago, I've forgotten who was president, head of state that time. It was because Rehan Bonnke was coming to town. Now we are having riots because Boko Haram is bombing. Because Rehan Bonnke went to Ilorin and shook the whole city. He went to Kaduna, shook the whole city. Then it was time to come to Kano. And suddenly, the Muslims became afraid. And they started a riot so that Rehan Bonnke wouldn't come to town. That is a better reason for riot. That is, they hear the sound and they became afraid. They can license Jai's bank all they want. It's a good thing. In case you know, if you want to know, if they open branch in town, go and borrow money there. Once they don't say Allahu Akbar first. Once in our business, go there. Strangers will build your walls. That's what the Bible says. Collect the Saudi money. God will, look, it's money. It's not Satan, it's money. If I say this, it makes some people laugh. If you know the way I reason. If they open Islamic primary school, don't send your children. It's not good. If they open Islamic secondary school, don't send your children. It's not good. But if they open Islamic university, I have no problem with that. There's no Islamic physics. Physics? No, physics. Go there, go and study pure science. You are safer there than in Stanford. I'm not kidding. You are safer there than in Harvard. When Oral Roberts' son died, he committed suicide. All right? After many years of depression and drug abuse, Oral Roberts regretted sending him to Stanford. He said, maybe that was why I made my mistake. Maybe I valued human education more than the spiritual climate where my child is supposed to be. Because the boy was naturally gifted and intelligent. Oral Roberts and his wife decided that let him go to the best school and they could afford it. They sent him to Stanford. That was where his faith was corrupted. That was where his life began to go down. Eventually, one day, he took a gun, drove somewhere, shot himself, and he died. We will not make noise if Harvard opened a campus here. We won't. But if Turkish University opens a campus here, we start shouting Islamic agenda. We don't realize that more Satan dwells in Harvard than in any Turkish university. But we will sell our father's houses to send our children to Harvard. We are confused people. No, but until I mentioned it now, many of us never realized that Satan dwells in Harvard. Until I said it now, many of us did not realize that Stanford, this, you know why? These people places were opened as Bible schools, training places for clergymen. No, read one of our past magazines. I analyzed it. I wrote that article. Go and research it. These schools were opened by church. Then one day, the glory departed. Yet, you know, Christians don't realize it yet. They still go there. If you send your son to the Christian university, talking to the Islamic agenda. Meanwhile, atheists control those places. Oral Roberts said that was the greatest mistake of his life. I digress again into that. But listen, I told you, if you open Turkish university in Nigeria, I don't give a hoot. I'll go there as an adult. I just won't send a child there. If it's a child, you go from home. Go and study physics, engineering, mathematics, economics. As long as you are not studying theology and religious studies there, I'm not afraid. There's one scripture I will keep on quoting over your head every day. Strangers will build your walls. Strangers will build your walls. Strangers will build your walls. In case you do not know, the communists were the ones that educated Sunday Adelaja. Oh, you don't know? He got a USSR scholarship to go to school so they could train. Unfortunately for them, 6 months before that time, he gave his life to Christ. Eventually, he started the biggest church in Europe. Our God is not a small God. He's a powerful God. He's not afraid. Islamic agenda cannot run you over. It can't run me over. It will not run this country over.
Amen.
The only risk we have, I've told you, is a complacent church, earthly minded, worldly minded. A church that doesn't understand the advancement of the gospel. That is the only problem we have. If we get up and we advance, listen to me, nothing can stand us. When Jesus said, nothing shall by any means hurt you, we use that promise all the time, okay? But if you go and check in that Luke chapter 10, he wasn't talking to Christians at home. He was talking to the disciples he sent on assignment. What was he telling them? Don't worry, go. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. He didn't give that word to those at home. I'm not saying the scripture does not apply. I'm just going to tell you the context in which he gave it. He said, when I sent you, did you lack anything? People on a mission, they are protected and they are provided for. But no, you know what we do? We're so afraid. My message today, I'm supposed to be teaching on faith. But I'm emphasizing to the church of God, there is nothing to be afraid of. The only thing we should be afraid of is our own inactivity. I digress too. Who remembers where I started from? You were reminding me where I was before I... Yes, thank you, yeah. I digress into all this talk at that point of talking about sinking because of lack of faith. That listen, the only reason why we sink is because of lack of faith. It's not because the power of God is not available. It's not because of the power of the enemy. What you and I need to do is what? Crank up our faith. Faith, the lack of it hinders things. Hinders what God wants to do. Let's continue the message for today. That was a digression. I'm not joking. I really am serious. That was a digression. So what we have been looking at is how do we increase our faith? How do we increase our faith? That's what we have been looking at. And I've explained something. Let me just talk about that briefly. Faith is not a method. It's not the more you learn, the more faith you have of a method. No. Faith is a substance. It is a spiritual substance that God pours into the worthy heart. Last time I discussed extensively about that worthy heart, when we're looking at that Romans chapter 10, in verse 17, when it says, faith comes by hearing. Did you read it just now?
No.
Have we read anything today?
No.
Why did you come with your Bible? Open back to it. The let's be that we read something. So that Romans chapter 10, we have been reading it. Let's just start from verse 13. Sorry. He said, for whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Please notice verse 15. How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. However, he said, they did not all heed the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? That is not everybody. So he said, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. That is, there are two things to put together for faith to come. There must be the word of Christ coupled with hearing and hearing. We said hearing and hearing is a state of heart. Hearing and hearing is not I heard again and I heard again. It's an attitude. Somebody who commits his life or her life totally to the word of God, who says this is the source of my life. That hearing and hearing is not for the people who come to take God's word and say, let me try it. Let me see whether it works. No. A hearing hearer is what James calls a doer of the word. It's the person who is totally committed and he says, this is my life. And we said, this is the kind of person that God pours his spirit, the spirit of faith, into. And we said, this is where we ended. It shows in many things. It shows in actions. For example, if you go to Opera Square, you see everybody jogging. Why? They say that health, long life, comes from being fit and from shedding weight. So people are around the place jogging all the time. Most of them don't like the idea. It is just that this is the key to long life, they've been told. I also believe in exercising. And the Bible says he has a little profit. It's not much. It's a little. You understand my point? I believe in it. I believe that I should be fit. The other day I climbed here and I didn't like the way my body reacted when I ran up the flight of stairs. So I told my wife, I said, I have to start exercising again. I like to be fit. But I don't believe it's the key to my long life. I don't believe it. I believe that I will not die a minute earlier than the Lord ordained. I believe that I will not die a minute later than it's pleasing to him. I believe that I was given life for a purpose. And as long as I'm fulfilling that purpose, all right, my life will be preserved. I believe that if I want long life, I ask God for it, and I confess the word of God that supports it, and I do what he says is right. There are things that cut short the life of people. As an example, God said to them, he gave them a commandment, honor your father and your mother. Otherwise, your days will be shortened in the land in which I gave you. One of the few commandments he gave in which people should be stoned to death in Israel was if you curse your father or you curse your mother, you should be drawn to the center of the city and killed. There are scriptures like that. Are you getting my point? So I know there are things he said. If you want long life, keep your mouth from speaking evil. Keep your mouth from speaking deceit. If you love life, there are things you don't do. There was nothing in the scripture that if you love long life, go and jog. There is nothing like that. The Bible never said exercise if you want long life. I'm not saying exercise is not good. But there are key things that God says is the reason why people's lives are prolonged. And I read a lot of people giving us instructions concerning the word of God. And I realized that if you really want, as a believer, your life to be preserved, seek the will of God for your life. Seek the plan of God for your life and walk in it. And don't let the world give you different standards for living. These are the keys. Now, why am I saying so? All of these things. When I discovered this, I told myself, I must spend more time confessing God's word, declaring God's word, than running around places. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying it's wrong. Listen. I plan to, over the next few months, okay, few weeks, actually, I told my wife to buy me a new set of sneakers, and she's bought it some like 6 months ago. It's under my bed. I'll soon bring it out. And I'm going to hit the road. It's good. I'm trying to. So I have to confess to you that it is good. Nothing wrong with it. I actually plan to. Just to prove that I plan to, I'll do it very soon. Okay? And listen, and when the Lord allows me some money for that purpose, I intend to have a very nice gym in my compound. All right? I like to, you know, it's good. Nothing wrong with it. But it's not a source of long life. For that reason, it doesn't take priority time from me. That's what I'm trying to explain. What am I saying? If I find that the word of God, the Bible says, is the source of my life. It says that my son, attend to my words. Incline your ears to my saying. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. It said they are life to those who find them and health to their whole body. If that is true, it shows, therefore, that the same way people run around, discipline themselves to be exercising, with that same discipline and more, I should go after the word of God. That's what I'm saying. So a hearing hearer is somebody who says, this is the source of faith, is the word of God. This is the source of life. So he goes after that word. Like David said, I rejoice at thy word, like him who finds great spoil. Are you getting my point? They asked Peter, are you not going? He said, to whom shall we go? You have this word of eternal life. If we know that this word is the source of our lives, it will show in how we relate with it. We will go after the teaching of the word of God. Like the fact that you have come here this evening. You will go after it. You will spend your time, spend your energy. If you start feeling ill, there's this reflex amongst Christians to quickly run to the doctor. I don't think it is right. I think you should quickly pray. I think you should quickly take a rest. I think you should quickly ask yourself, what is going on in my life? Before you start running up and down, before they diagnose one terrible thing for you, and then that's it. Your faith is suddenly weakened entirely, then the thing grows bigger, and that's it, you're in trouble. But meanwhile, if you have spent some time, first of all, to study God's word and pray and repent of anything that may be wrong in your life, all right, and declare the word of health over your life, if along the line, God now arranges so that one of your friends say, it's not a big deal. My friend is doctor, he will take care of that for you. And then he takes care of it. We thank God for him. Are you getting my point? But in that short interval, the day, the time, hours you took to say, let me check what the spirit is saying. Many times like that, tumors will have disappeared. By the time you see the doctor, only fever will remain. I'm serious. Many times like that, blood sugar will have come down. By the time you see the doctor, it's hunger that will remain. You just need to eat some more. You don't know that if you had come yesterday, he would have told you you're diabetic. But you delayed coming by 24 hours to go and pray and seek the face of God. God does not like people trusting in physicians too quickly. What am I saying? The hearing hearer is the one he pours faith into his heart. Is the one he pours faith into our heart. And the person shows the attitude towards the word of God by how he or she goes after it. Takes time out to study the word. Takes time out to buy a book to read. You want to know a Christian who has faith? Check what he talks about. All these people that forward Islamic agenda and Boko Haram to you, their faith is zero. Later I'll talk about it again. Please, I want to just beg you, go and listen to our series, The Fight Against Unbelief. Because sometimes people learn a lot of truth, but they don't deliberately remove unbelief out of their lives. I'm not going to teach that now because we've taught it before. Please go and get the series, The Fight Against Unbelief. It's available on our website. Now what am I saying all of these things? So it's our attitude that decides whether God will pour faith into our hearts or he will not. What I wanted to teach today, which I will only introduce and then we'll close in a few minutes, I just wanted to bring out, last time I ended by explaining the issue of Elijah and Elisha, how the words that Elisha was hearing from the mouth of Elijah was the significant thing in the pouring of water on his hands. It was not just that the fact that he was serving him. That as believers, we must put many things together. Serving God by physical activity is also important. Ministering to the saints, loving the body of Christ is crucial. These are the things that we put together, all right, to make ourselves ready to receive the spirit of faith. I talked about Paul when he was rejoicing for the Philippians. He rejoiced because a spiritual substance was going to be added to their account. And I said, I believe, I'm persuaded, that that's a spiritual substance that can be converted to faith. It's a spiritual reality. Now, all these things are put together. But what I wanted to bring out today, which I just introduced and then we'll go on next time, is to explain how you pray actually for faith. Because people say that you can't pray for faith. I don't think so. It's how you do it that may be the problem. People can actually pray for faith. You can pray in such a manner that your faith might be boosted. We have seen that faith is not just a process of learning. Learning only opens our hearts to be able to receive it. When Elisha hears a lot from Elijah, when the spirit wants to be poured, he will be able to imbibe that spirit. If he did not hear, if God pours that spirit, he will not be able to receive it. So learning is very important. But faith itself, okay, is a substance. So if God is going to pour it into your life, it is possible for you, therefore, to ask him for it. It is. Another thing is, as I said earlier, we read that before. When we're talking about Ephesians chapter 4, reading from Ephesians chapter 4, that he gave gifts unto men, that God sends people into the body of Christ to help the body of Christ build up their faith. It's a crucial prayer. There's something okay, Mute, normally, when he's leading prayer here, and my wife today, when she was leading prayer, she also said the same prayer. That pray like this, that today, Lord, let Pastor Banky speak to me. If I'm not the one preaching, whoever it is that will preach, they will pray. Let this person speak to me. These are valid prayer points. There are people that God sent into your life. It's important you pray to God that God let me meet them. Yeah, very important. Because the will of God is not done automatically. You know, I've kept on saying that thing. If it was done automatically, Jesus would not have taught us to pray. Thy will be done. But many times, God's will, what he wants to do, he says, put it in your mouth and ask me for it. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into your own personal harvest field. Your life is a harvest field. You have to pray, God. Listen, let me give you an example. You want a word concerning healing. You want to boost up your faith in that area. You bow your heads and pray, say, Lord, this word is somewhere. Send it to me. It happened to me at the time when I was in Lagos. Let me stop here. End with that testimony. You know, I love to learn the word of God. I still love it till now. All right? And God periodically will bring a new teacher into my life. A few years ago, you never heard the word they be passing from my mouth. All right? Then sometime last year or the year before, suddenly started hearing me talk about him. And God sent him into my life and he has opened my eyes dramatically in many areas. So the things that periodically in life, there are people that God sends into your life to take you to a new level. You need to ask God for it. That time in Lagos, I listened to the gospel at a point in time. I used to go to Winners that time, but there was something in me. I wrote the story in the book, How to Work for God. Something in me just kept on saying, Banky, there's something you're supposed to understand you don't know yet. I looked around, I agonized, and finally, I'm sure I prayed, I can't remember specifically. But finally, one day, God just led me to 400 about Macaulay Road. And I heard Pastor Bodu teach the inheritance inside the new man. For the first time, I unlearned all the wrong thing I learned from faith, our school of faith, that the prophets were for the Jews. It's not true. I heard the gospel was preached, first of all, by the prophets. I said, So then the scriptures made sense. Are you getting my point? Listen, the Bible is deep. You can't know everything by yourself. God will send people into your life.
Amen.
You need to just pray periodically. Say, Lord, he said, your eyes will behold your teacher. You say, God, send my own teacher into my life. Don't go around criticizing and fighting people. Love everybody. Love the body of Christ. But ask God. Say, It's not every time you can. Many people, they are talking like this. Some people say, wow. Was it what? I can't hear what the man is saying. He's not my teacher. These are the ways you talk, you pray for faith. My time is up, all right? This is what I wanted to teach today. I just want to introduce, you know why I introduced like this? So that next time I'll remember to preach it. And Islamic agenda will not take our time next time, I hope. But today I'm sure you are living here. You are not afraid of any agenda. Your own issue now is that what is my own agenda in this life? What's my agenda? Later we'll talk about what is the agenda of faith itself for every believer. You must have an agenda for increasing your faith. Listen, if you want your faith to be big, go and read the Bible. God didn't give you faith to be eaten. Every day you are still confessing the name of Jesus, I receive a new car, you won't get it. It's like God doesn't give faith for cars. He said, listen, my friend, I have better things for you to do. I will bless you so much. Car will not be a matter of talk. It will not be, you understand my point? You know, raise faith. No, pursue faith for purpose. Pursue faith for purpose. We'll continue from that point next time. Let's bow down our heads and just give the Lord thanks. If we're blessed, they just begin to give him thanks. Say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the blessing that's in your word. Thank him especially. Say, Lord, you rule in the affairs of men. I am not afraid of anybody's agenda. The agenda of Christ will stand. Pray for the body of Christ. Say, Lord, help us to discover the agenda of Christ for this season. There's no agenda that is bigger, that's more powerful than the agenda of Christ Jesus. Everyone present here, you are sent out as apostles, the disciples of Christ, to go and preach the agenda of Christ. Listen to this. I just feel like that's a prophetic word. If you are here today, the Lord sent you here today specifically for one reason, apart from learning, that you will live here and be an apostle of the true agenda. Are you getting my point? that no longer will you be afraid. People, not only you, you are not afraid anymore. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You will teach other people not to be afraid. Don't go around fighting everybody. Say Islamists don't have an agenda. They can have. The only thing I wanted to teach people by the Spirit of God is that everybody has a right to an agenda. But that if the church has the agenda of Christ, it will always prevail. Are you getting my point? Go out from here and do that assignment. Teach the, because if we don't, faith is getting weaker and weaker and weaker. What Satan is doing is weakening the faith of the body of Christ. And when their faith gets weak, they easily get run over. But if we teach this truth, their faith will never be weak. They get stronger and stronger and stronger. And then one day, straight from the shores, all right, down to the borders near the Sahara, the gospel of Christ will be reigning. The Sultan of Sokoto will bow to Christ Jesus. Are you getting my point? One of the biggest churches in Nigeria will be Maiduguri. Are you getting what I'm saying? If we believe the truth, we are going to conquer every inch of this country. Let's continue to give the Lord and say, Lord, thank you for your agenda. Thank you for your agenda for my life. Help me to discover it also. Let's rise to our feet. We are closing. Repeat after me. Say, Father, I thank you. Say,
Father, I thank you.
Because you are king.
You are the man of war.
You are the ruler over Nigeria.
You are the ruler
in my life. Say, Lord, I thank you.
Because you are king.
I am not afraid. Say, the church is not afraid.
The church in Nigeria is not afraid.
We are not afraid. We can't be run over. Say, we will advance
and nothing will stop us.
The gates of hell
will not prevail.
The gates of hell
will not prevail.
Say, in my life,
I will advance
and the gates of hell
will not prevail.
In Nigeria,
the gates of hell
will not prevail.
Say, Lord, you will have mercy.
Upon this land, you have mercy.
You will bring an end to wars,
and every plague will stop.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Say, Lord, we receive peace.
We receive peace.
We receive prosperity
for this nation
from your hands
in the name of Jesus Christ.
I just feel like saying this quickly. I think one of the reasons why we had to go through this tight crisis this period is that God needs to win people of hope in Buhari. You know, by the time he was coming into power, people say fuel will go for 40 naira a liter. Now it is 145 naira a liter. That we might know that God is God and not Buhari. Only him is savior. Let's declare, say, Father, we thank you.
Only you
are the savior.
You are the savior.
You are the savior.
You are the provider.
You give a good economy.
We thank you for our president.
He will do your will
and he will prosper in it.
But only you are the savior.
Only you are the blesser of the country.
Say, safety is of you.
Power is from you.
When I say power, I mean electricity. Are you getting my point? That's what I mean.
Say, every provision
is from you.
We acknowledge you as God.
We acknowledge you as El Shaddai.
We declare
that your name will be given to no other.
Your name is not given to the head of state.
Your name does not belong to APC.
PDP was never our problem.
The iniquity of the land was the problem.
Therefore, we declare
you will have mercy
and we will prosper.
Not because of APC,
not because of Buhari,
but because you are king.
Let's give the Lord and say, Father, we thank you. Let's just worship him.
I declare to you that goodness will follow you in Jesus' name.
Put up your two hands.
Goodness will follow you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Mercy will be with you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
All things have passed away from your life in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God will arise and show you mercy.
Amen.
In your personal life, goodness will come into that place.
Amen.
Closed doors, they will open for you.
Amen.
In the midst of adversity, you will be protected.
Amen.
In the midst of scarcity, you will have abundance.
Amen.
God will show you his mercy.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As you go home, no evil will befall you.
Amen.
And no plague will come near your dwelling place.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Come on, let's share the grace in fellowship. You know, from the bottom of our hearts.